There's a peculiar correlation that once fooled serious researchers. Countries with more storks have higher birth rates. The relationship is statistically significant, publishable in academic journals, and completely meaningless. Larger countries simply have more of both storks and babies. Yet, the same year this kind of statistical trickery was exposed in a best-selling book, other researchers used statistics to prove smoking causes lung cancer. Evidence so compelling that doctors became the first profession to quit en masse. This paradox captures our modern dilemma. We live in an ocean of data, yet we're drowning in confusion. Numbers can illuminate truth or obscure it, save lives or mislead millions. The difference lies not in the statistics themselves, but in how we read them. We exhibit what researchers call the ostrich effect. Investors check portfolios 50% less during market crashes. People delay medical tests when fearing bad news, and we avoid opening bills during financial stress. This avoidance might soothe us temporarily, but it prevents the corrective action that could actually help. We evaluate evidence emotionally first, then rationalize our feelings. When psychologist Ziva Kunda presented identical studies to different groups, those with personal stakes dismissed uncomfortable findings. Stephen Jay Gould, diagnosed with deadly cancer at 40, initially panicked at the 8-month median survival. Recognizing he had youth, early detection, and excellent care, and that half lived longer, he survived another 20 years. Arbitrary roles shape reasoning. People randomly assigned as farmers predicted higher wheat prices than those assigned as bakers, despite identical data. A renowned art historian authenticated an obvious Vermeer forgery because it confirmed what he wanted to believe. Your crowded commute seems to contradict transit statistics showing trains half empty on average. Both perspectives reveal truth. Transit authorities track every train, including empty off-peak ones. You only experience packed peak time trains. Your chain-smoking grandmother, who lived to 90, doesn't disprove smoking's deadliness. You simply haven't observed enough cases to detect patterns emerging across millions. We suffer from naive realism, mistaking our limited perspective for universal truth. Most believe murder rates are rising when they're falling. We form distorted impressions from memorable news stories rather than representative data. Yet some truths can't be learned from spreadsheets. When hospitals used metrics to evaluate cardiac surgeons, doctors refused high-risk patients to maintain success rates. The lesson? Notice when strong feelings cloud judgment. Knowing when to trust statistics over intuition, and when lived experience reveals what numbers miss. When UK hospitals showed dramatically different newborn mortality rates, Dr. Lucy Smith discovered the gap wasn't care quality, but classification. London hospitals recorded 22 to 23-week pregnancies as late miscarriages, while Midlands hospitals classified them as live births followed by death. This recording difference entirely explained the statistical gap. Consider 39,773 gun deaths in America. Mentioned during mass shooting coverage, we naturally associate it with homicide, yet 60% are suicides. Or a UK policy paper defining unskilled workers as anyone earning under £35,000 annually, excluding most nurses, teachers, and chemists. London's murder rate surpasses New York's for the first time ever, suggested Britain's capital had descended into American-style violence. But zoom out, London had 184 murders in 1990 versus New York's 2,262. By 2017, London had fallen to 130, while New York dropped to 292. The alarming headline captured one bad month in London, coinciding with one good month in New York. What counts as news depends entirely on your time frame. A newspaper published every 25 years would headline falling crime rates rather than monthly fluctuations. A 100-year paper would marvel at child mortality falling eightfold worldwide. Before accepting any statistic, ask, what does this actually measure, and compared to what? A famous psychology experiment showed 24 jam varieties attracted more attention, but fewer purchases than 6 options. This finding became a TED Talk sensation until replication attempts failed. When researchers compiled published and unpublished studies on choice overload, the overall effect was zero. Published papers showed dramatic effects. Unpublished ones showed nothing. Publication bias represents a crisis in scientific research. When 300 psychologists systematically reran 100 studies from prestigious journals, only 39 replicated successfully. Academia's publish or perish culture rewards surprising results over thorough testing. For years, Uganda's labor surveys missed 700,000 workers, mostly women, until someone redesigned the questions. The original survey assumed traditional employment patterns, failing to capture secondary activities like subsistence farming. Size alone doesn't guarantee accuracy. The Literary Digest's 1936 presidential poll gathered 2.4 million responses, predicting Landon would defeat Roosevelt 55% to 41%. Roosevelt actually won 61% to 37%. Despite its massive sample, the Digest surveyed people from telephone directories and car registrations, overrepresenting wealthy voters. George Gallup's much smaller but carefully designed poll correctly predicted Roosevelt's victory. During Hurricane Sandy, Manhattan lit up with social media posts, while harder-hit areas like Coney Island remained silent, not because they were unaffected, but because power outages prevented posting. In 2009, Google tracked flu outbreaks faster than the CDC by analyzing search patterns. 4 years later, it spectacularly failed, estimating nearly double the actual cases. Without understanding causation, the algorithm became part flu detector, part winter detector, correlating flu with seasonal searches like high school basketball that also peaked in November. When algorithms make life-changing decisions without transparency, consequences intensify. Washington, D.C.'s Impact algorithm fired 206 teachers in 2011 based on flawed metrics. Small classes meant random variation dramatically affected ratings. Amazon's 2014 hiring algorithm learned to penalize resumes containing women's simply because men had historically been preferred. Yet we must compare flawed algorithms to equally fallible humans. During the 2011 London riots, Nicholas Robinson got 6 months for stealing bottled water, while Richard Johnson received no jail time for premeditated theft, likely because Robinson was sentenced during peak anxiety. Research analyzing 750,000 bail decisions found algorithms could reduce crime while on release by 25%, or jail 40% fewer people without increasing crime. The solution lies in transparency. In the mid-1600s, science advanced rapidly while alchemy stagnated. The crucial difference was openness. When algorithms make consequential decisions about our lives, we deserve to understand how they work and challenge their logic. When Puerto Rico tried disbanding its statistics agency over $1 million budget, the cost seemed trivial compared to the value statistics provide. UK cost-benefit analyses found census data worth at least $500 million annually, a tenfold return, enabling better resource allocation and informing decisions from pensions to public health. These aren't just management tools, they're public goods, enabling democracy itself. Government statistics differ fundamentally from private data. They're typically free to all citizens, ensuring democratic access. Some data only governments can legally collect, while private providers might charge thousands for equivalent information. Public statistics let citizens understand social issues, as when W.E.B. Du Bois used census data for his groundbreaking 1900 visualizations of African American life. When governments treat statistics as political tools, quality collapses. Under 1980s UK reforms, unemployment definitions changed over 30 times in a decade, usually lowering headline rates. This destroyed public trust that took decades to rebuild. Today, the UK's Office for National Statistics is more trusted than courts or police, but this required institutional independence. Pre-release access invites corruption. In the UK, where 108 people saw unemployment figures early, market prices would mysteriously move before publication. Sweden, which bans pre-release access, shows no such movements. The UK finally ended this practice in 2019. In a world drowning in data, yet starving for truth, curiosity proves more powerful than intelligence or skepticism alone. Yale's Dan Kahan found that scientifically curious people behave fundamentally differently. When shown climate change headlines, they preferred surprising information, even when it contradicted their views, seeing unexpected claims as engaging puzzles rather than threats. Our brains respond to belief-threatening facts like physical threats. Curious people override this instinct. The information gap theory explains that curiosity flourishes between complete ignorance and complete knowledge. We suffer from the illusion of explanatory depth, believing we understand everyday objects or policies better than we do. When researchers asked people to explain flush toilets or political policies in detail, their confidence collapsed and political polarization diminished. Engaging curiosity requires making information interesting through storytelling. Stephen Colbert's comedy bit on campaign finance taught viewers more about super PACs than newspaper reading. For anyone facing public skepticism about complex ideas, the key isn't just clarity, it's inspiring wonder. In an age of information overload, curiosity isn't just helpful, it's essential. Because behind every statistic lies a human story, and behind every number waits a truth worth discovering.